greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for the time you've given. Just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we open your words, live our lives, Father. Give us understanding, Father, the words to speak. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your spirit. Help us be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the innermost prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Here's Paul and Silas. They've been faithful to the Lord. They're preaching. They're doing what God had called them to do. And the people rose up against them, beat them, stripped off their clothes, and threw them in prison. Not just the outer one, but the inner one. You know, if we think about these inner prisons, you know, there wasn't lights like we have today. There wasn't anything there but just a cell, just misery. Nothing nice at all. And I want us to think about that just for a moment. You know, we tend to live in the moment. In other words, everything that we do, everything all around us revolves around now. And sometimes, you know, if we were Paul and Silas here and thinking the way that we normally do, here we're in prison. We're not thinking about being out of prison. We're thinking about here we are. You know, and they've beat us, they've thrown us, you know, and what we usually think of is this is now my life. Because we're so superficial. We're so in the moment, we think so much of ourselves that we can't hardly even see past anything more than that. We just see the situation that we're in. You know, here this is a physical jail, but oftentimes we look at our lives, especially young people. Often, you know, they see their lives growing up and all they see is the life they're living. They can't see past what may happen tomorrow, for good or bad. All they see is, I'm miserable now. I'm mad now. I'm upset now. I've been mistreated now. You know, and how many people have made decisions when they're young that have affected the rest of their life? You know, they've made decisions because they felt trapped, because they felt they weren't going anywhere, because they felt that their life was just miserable because of their situations. Their life was just boring, or whatever they might, you know, maybe they just wanted to live. Maybe they just wanted to be free without the constraints of somebody over them. Kind of feel like they're in a prison. And their only hope and their only goal is to get out of that prison. That's how a lot of young people, and that's how the mindset that they have when they begin to make decisions. There's trouble. There's darkness. There's a storm, and they can't see past anything other than all of that trouble and storm and darkness. They can't see past being mistreated. They can't see past just a miserable existence. That's their life. And in their minds, or in our minds, we think that's just the way it's always going to be. I'm just stuck here. And this is my life. It's just miserable. And so, they just trudge on. And they begin to make their decisions, or they begin to live in that pattern. And so their decision-making process is, how can I get rid of the problem I'm living in? How can I get out of this trouble, this storm that I'm in? They're blaming someone else for the storm. They just are looking for a way out of their problems. So a lot of times they just run. They just take off. They just get out of their situation. You know, I've seen people like this. People that made those decisions. And you know, now it's 20, 30 years down the road, and they've moved about 15 or 20 times. They've looked for ways out of their current situation. And you know, every time they get out of this situation, they jump into it, and then, you know, there's a little bit of light for a moment. And then, pretty soon, it starts getting dark again. They get a new job. They get a new place. They're all ready to start brand new. And what I've had to tell them over and over and over and over again is that your problems are right here. And they're going to follow you wherever you go. You might escape them for a minute. You might jump out of jail. You might get a chance to get out of, to get a little freedom. But you'll create the same jail because it's within you. And it's all about attitudes. It's about who you are, not your situation. And I've just seen it, like I said, over and over again. People think, well, if I can just get out of this problem, I'll be all right. And they jump. And you can tell them, don't do that. And they'll say, no, but I see this time. You know, I've had people say, you know, I heard people say that, you know, well, you're the wisest person I know. And But I'm not going to listen to you because I see that this thing is going to fix my problems over and over again. You know, the thing about it is if you know that there's somebody that has wisdom and you will not listen to it, you know what's left? Everything else. If you will not listen to wisdom and you choose another path, you get the rest of it. That's just what happens. People are looking how to get out of their troubles. Because it does get dark. You know, we make decisions. And especially young people making decisions. You're making decisions that's going to determine whether you wind up on the straight and narrow path or you wind up on the broad, wide one that leads to destruction. And a lot of times those decisions are made in desperation. And I'm going to tell you right now, any of your decisions that are made in desperation are going to be bad ones. You have to choose the right decisions. You have to choose them. You know, the saying, you can choose your path, but you must accept the destination that that path leads to. Or you can choose your destination, and you must accept the road that leads to that destination. So many times we make our decisions based on the road that we're on. The problem is we end up on the destination that road leads to. And oftentimes those decisions are made out of desperation. Sometimes they're made out of excitement. Sometimes they're made out of thrill. Sometimes they're made out of just, there's no hope at all for anything else. And so I just have to make the next best decision. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. You know, there's a whole different situation here. You know, here, these two men are in prison, a dark prison. They've been beaten. They've been stripped of their clothes. They're thrown in a dark, damp, nasty prison. And what are they doing? Are they lamenting because, oh, I'm in a bad situation. Oh, I got problems. No, they turn to prayer and to praising God. You see all the difference that attitude makes. You know, we can be grouchy and grumble about our miserable situation, which in most cases, it's still probably a lot better situation than 90% of the world's living in. You know, there's people tonight that have parents that abuse them. There's people tonight that the only time that they're young people, the only time they see their parents is whenever you get in trouble and your parents have to come and be ashamed of you, and so they take it out on you and beat you up and all kinds of things. There's no hope. There's people tonight that have to scrounge for something to eat because Mom's drunk again, and so I've got to look for something to eat. They're cold and they're hungry. Their house is hot or cold because Dad's been gone for a few weeks or he's gone completely, and Mom's just stuck with, can't pay the gas bill. The landlord's threatened to throw them out on their ear. And so they have to turn to stealing. Or they have to turn to drugs to get away from all those decisions. You know, there's people that have hard lives. And even then, I've seen people in those situations, some of the happiest people come out of those things. And then I've seen people, in fact, most of the modern liberal movement is people who've had everything in this world handed to them, and they're still miserable. And so they've got to do things or things that don't amount to anything to make themselves feel better about their miserable, miserable lives. Those are the kind of the people that when they get in a situation that's bad, they die there. They make decisions that ruin their lives and they ruin everybody else's lives around them. And it's all just one little simple attitude thing. You know, we don't have anything. There's not a one of you here have a thing to complain about. Myself included. We don't have a thing to complain about. Times may get hard. Times may have been hard. You know, I look back at the hard times in my life, and that's what made me who I am. The comfortable times do me more damage. Than any hard time ever could. We look at our lives and Mom or Dad, they're just grouchy at me all the time. They're always on me. They're always riding me. They're always complaining to me. I can't do anything right. Well, you know, just one little bit of your attitude changing is amazing how much the other people's attitudes around you change. You know, a lot of times, the very things that we hate in other people are the very things that we're reflecting back to other people. Read a thing a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago that says, you know, the things that irritate you about other people are the things that can help you grow. They're the things that can make you a better person. Those things that really bug you about somebody else, God has given you those things to show you what they are in your own heart so that you can become a better person. Like I said, a lot of times the things that we're seeing in other people are grouchy to us. People are complaining to us because we're not doing good enough. It's usually because that's exactly the way we're doing. And so it really takes notice whenever we see those things. But about midnight, Paul and Silas was in this jail. You know what they were doing? They were praying. And they were praising God, singing hymns, thanking God. Even for their situation. You know, if you start thanking God for the situation you're in, it's unbelievable what that'll do to your attitude. And you know, the next thing, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. You know, that this is a physical sense, and it's amazing to us that here these men were in jail, and then all of a sudden God shook the whole place and their chains fell off. The light sprang into the darkness, and they walked out of there. That's the way our whole lives can be, if we'll let it. But we're so busy, we're so caught up in our own little worlds, our own little bitty dark worlds, that we don't think there's anything outside of those jailhouse. All we can see is the walls and the prison bars. That's all we can see. All we can see is that prisoner. Maybe my husband's not what he ought to be. So our prison is, I'm just stuck with this no good thing. Maybe our wife's just an old nag, and boy, we're just stuck with that old heifer. And all we see is all that miserable misery around us, because our vision is just, that's all it is. That's our world. But Paul and Silas, they saw right through those walls. They saw right through those different layers of dungeon. They saw right through those chains that they were in. And they saw a great God. You know, we said a few weeks ago, David, you know, everybody talks, he didn't talk about how big the giant was. He talked about how big God was. And when we get our attention off of us and our little bitty problems, and we start seeing how big God is, and we decide, I'm going to serve God no matter what He has me go through. No matter what He wants from me. No matter what He thinks I need to do. The chains fall off and the doors open. You know, not maybe not physically, but it does in our heart. And then we can be free right in this jail, right in this prison. And that's what is the difference. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that his prisoners had escaped. He was responsible for them. And he knew if they were gone, he would be killed. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself, for we're all here." You know, they didn't run from their prison. God had already opened the doors. They didn't have to sneak out. They went and told the jailer, "Hey, we're still here." Because they knew they were in God's hands. The decisions that you people, young people, and us, older people, the decisions that we're making, if they're made in this gloom, will never set you free. Never, never, never set you free. They'll just set you on a dark road. You know, we're not on a level playing. We're either going up or we're going down. And when we make bad decisions, it goes down, 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 down. And we're helpless because we're just chained to those decisions. But we make the better ones and we're climbing up. There's no coasting here. There's no just getting out of a bad situation and things will be better. We're either going up or we're going down. There's no in-betweens. The decisions that we make, you know, like I said, I've seen, I don't know how many young people just get frustrated and just give up. Just give up. And go want something a little easier, want a better life. And they may have a little better life for a little while. I remember myself whenever I was 18 years old, I was in church and there was no answers there for me. And I didn't know what else to do. That's all I knew. And I had just given up. I had prayed and just tried to pretend that everything was all right because Jesus died. And I lived that way for a long time. And I just got to the place where God didn't work for me. And I didn't know any answers. I just said, God, I can't do this. Well, in fact, the preacher was preaching about making a decision. And I just remember just telling God, I've done everything I know to do, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite anymore. And I left. And I went out into the world, and it looked like I was going up, but I was going down. I just remember feeling so free. So free. But I just wound up, that freedom was just putting chains on me. Just got into everything you can imagine. In chains. But thinking I was free. I've told it about the story about following a chicken truck. You know how they're all in this cage, all paled up in a cage. And once in a while, you'll see one of these chickens alongside the road. Just a bloody mess and a few greasy feathers left. And I just thought, you know, the last thing that chicken thought as he squeezed out of that cage going 60 miles an hour was, I'm free. And he hit the highway going 60 miles an hour, and then a truck come behind him and finished the job. But he thought he was free. Real freedom doesn't change your situation. Real freedom changes your heart. The decisions y'all are making right now. Maybe you're looking for a wife. Maybe you're looking to do something, whatever it is. Those decisions are going to be with you for the rest of your life, and even more than that, throughout all eternity, the decisions you're making. If you're making them because, oh, this is going to be, this going to make my life really good. You know, maybe we're thinking that all I need to do is get married and that'll fix everything. Or maybe I just need to do the next thing or whatever it is. Remember, you're going with the situation. So if you're looking for something to fix your life right now, whatever you drag into it or whatever decision you make with it, you're going to still be there. And you're going to mess that decision up too. Don't look for anything that's going to make you happy to fix your life, because it won't. Fix your heart. Then the decisions you make can be good ones. Then the decisions you make, you can lift somebody else up along the way. This song that we sang, light after darkness. Light after darkness, gain after loss. Strength after weakness, crown after cross. Just tells all these things of somebody that's looking past their miserable little life right now. Looking for something better. You know, Jesus said, you know, if we live, we'll die. And if we die, we'll live. What we have that we give, we'll receive. You know, he taught that principle. It's not what you gain, but it's what you lose that's going to be important. This song's talking about, you know, somebody having it bad and it turning into something good. The reality is most people have something good and it's going to turn into something bad. Because our hearts need changed, not just our circumstances. May the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Besides these two.
I really like your comment. What about choosing mega wisdom or everything else? And how that. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Meeting together. God bless you all. Depart in peace.